1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I dare somebody just to tell your neighbor, if you only knew, I had to fight like hell to get here this afternoon. If you only knew, I don't know what I'm walking into when I get back home. If you only. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. Let me give my little speech. Some of y'all want me to sit down because the Cowboys play at 6:20. And
preach.
And I'm
gonna stay and watch them.
And I'm excited that they're playing. But it ain't guaranteed I'm gonna get home to see the Cowboys. And I got to get this out of me. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. Paige, leave me alone. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 13. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately, somebody shout immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. And immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord just for a few brief moments this afternoon. I want to talk about wilderness tested. Wilderness tested. Allow me to cut through some of the red tape and get straight to the heart and meat of the text. Our writer, Mark, who is also called John Mark. Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Perhaps the only mention of him in the gospel is a shadowy reference of Mark, Mark chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. As a youth, perhaps he played a larger part in the group that followed Jesus. The early church met at his mother's home. Mary in Jerusalem, she was hard working. She was an accomplished woman. But her son, up until we get to his writing, is a no name. Another indication that Mark wrote this gospel for the Roman is that he uses more Latin words than any other gospel. Yeah. The Gospel of Mark, hear me, is a busy book. Yeah. And this gospel, Jesus seems to be his busiest. Hello. Quickly moving from one event to the next. Yeah. One of the key words in this gospel is immediately. Yes. It occurs more than 40 times in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, we see Jesus as a servant, busy meeting the needs and busy being God's Messiah. In the gospel of Mark, hear me, the emphasis is on the deeds of Jesus, yes, more than the words of Jesus. All right. The Gospel of Mark pictures Christ in action. It pictures him doing. There's minimum discourse on his words, but maximum conversation concerning his deeds. And it is true that in the book of Mark, Jesus is teaching us that people want your action more than they want your words. That talk is cheap if you have no action. That it's time out for the kingdom being about talk. That people want to see action. Mark chapter 1 opens giving the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the 30-year-old Jesus. This is not the baby lying in a manger. But this is the Jesus that's ready to fulfill his earthly purpose. John Mark opens the book giving us an introduction, or rather reintroducing us to John the Baptist. You remember, don't you? We first meet John the Baptist when Jesus' mother Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And she announces that she's pregnant. And John, the infant, John starts to leap in his mother's belly. It is this John that has now been preparing people for the coming of Jesus. He had been preaching in the wilderness, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He'd been telling the world that there's coming one greater than me. That there's coming a Messiah. There's coming a King. There's coming a Lord of Lords. Finally, people of God, the day comes to pass. Jesus shows up. John baptizes him. The heavens open. And a voice declares, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." That moment literally gives us the end of John's ministry and the beginning of Jesus's ministry. But as soon as Jesus is baptized, an interesting event takes place. The Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. Why not let Jesus have a victory parade? Why not a dinner party? Or just a quiet evening before tackling what he thought would be his first assignment? I want to lay my hat here for about the next 17 minutes and answer the question, why the angel, why God, excuse me, drove Jesus into the wilderness. I submit to you this afternoon that all of us need a wilderness experience. The wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, unhospitable region. It's wild. It's full of waste. It's a jungle. Grandmaster Flash said of the wilderness, "Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying." I thought y'all knew it, not to lose my head. It's a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Is there anybody in here that can testify that God has put you in some wilderness places and you wonder, "Lord, why did you do this to me? How is it that you called me, then take me through a jungle, then put me in the wilderness?" First thing I want to show you, AJ, and I'm on my way out of here just about. First thing I want to show you is the timing of the wilderness. He takes Jesus into the wilderness after baptism. He takes him into the wilderness after a celebratory moment. After a moment that he should have been shouting and praising, he takes him into the wilderness after he has announced that he's finally here. Yes. Somebody needs to hear me, that God will put you in a wilderness after your greatest moment. That God will put you in a wilderness after you got through shouting, after they call your name, after you've had a good day. God will put you in a wilderness when you'd rather shout and dance, when you want to celebrate. He says, no, I need to place you in a position so I can get your attention so you won't go too far. And I hear some of you, you're asking the question, why would you put me in a wilderness? You called me to do this. I didn't call myself. I didn't anoint myself. Hell, the reality is I don't want to do it. I can say what I want to say. I'm at the place of hope. I didn't want to do it. But you called me. You let them lay hands on me. And then you put me in a wilderness. You put me in a dark place. You put me in a lonely place. You put me in a place to suffer. Perhaps Marshall, he was trying to make sure through Jesus that we understood that ministry is more about the wilderness than it is about the celebration. God, I wish I had some help in here. Because there'll be too many times when we want to celebrate and we get caught up in the celebration. And the Lord says, no, hold up, wait a minute. Before you get too big, let me take you through a wilderness. He said, you want your name called. I'm trying to chisel some stuff off of you. It is perhaps this moment that we realize that you better be careful of the titles you chase. Because the greater the title, the greater the wilderness. Is there anybody that can testify that before I got all of this, things were pretty good? Life was pretty easy for me. But because of my wilderness, because of the calling, because of the anointing on my life, I have had to go through pure hell to get where I am. Paige, give me a little bit over there. Help push me, son. Hell! He says, it's after baptism, but then watch this. Y'all sit down, watch this. No, that's okay. Watch this. He says, not just after baptism, but then 40 days. I got to labor here for a while. Tell your neighbor, this thing ain't going to end overnight. That this wilderness you're in, pack you a sack lunch, get you a blanket and a pillow, because you're going to be here for a minute. And while you're there, you're going to be lonely and you're going to get empty, but I want you to stay right there until I'm through with you. He says, Jesus, I got work for you.
Man, you better feel like it, man.
I got work for you. But I got training for you first. Some of y'all, am I all right? Some of y'all get called today and want to be bishop without training. You don't want to go through nothing. But real ministry takes you through a real wilderness where you're going to be lied on, where you're going to be talked about, where you're going to be mistreated. They're going to scandalize your name. You're going to want to give up, quit, throw in the towel, but tell your neighbor, stay right there. Some of us want this wilderness experience to end immediately. But anything that you get without challenge, you don't treat it right. Perhaps the reason some of y'all keep getting in and out of ministry is because you didn't stay in the wilderness long enough. You keep jumping in and out of auxiliaries, and you keep saying, God told me, then God didn't tell you. You treat God like he's bipolar and schizophrenic. You didn't stay in the wilderness long enough. It's the timing. Let me move on. It's the timing of the wilderness. And then, are you ready? It's the tempting of the wilderness. Look at the scripture. Marshall, the scripture says that he was drove into the wilderness and he hung out not with the chorus, not with family and friends. Not with the sweet mothers. But the scripture says he hung out with wild beasts. That God will put you in a wilderness with vultures. That the intent of the vulture is to destroy your life. That the intent of the vulture is to mess up your ministry. That the intent of the vulture is to wipe you out and take you out. But God says, I put you in the wilderness with them, but I'm not going to let them harm you. He says, here is your assignment in the wilderness. Are you ready? Don't adapt to the ways of the beast. I don't know what y'all came to get on a 15-year anniversary. I got to give you what the Lord told me to give you. Would you look at your name and tell them, don't start acting like the beast. Don't. God called you out. God made you different. Don't you start acting like the beast. Don't start acting like the hell raisers, the church fighters, the preacher killers. Don't start acting like what he puts you around. Watch this.
So
here is what John did. John took the beast and made him his congregation. John said, I ain't gonna act like y'all, but I ain't gonna change how I was acting before I got in the wilderness. Okay, let me talk to this side. John said, I ain't going to act like y'all, but I ain't going to change how I was acting before I got in the wilderness. All right, musicians, y'all going to help me. John said, I ain't going to act like y'all, but I ain't going to change how I was acting before I got in the wilderness. In other words, John said, I came in shouting, I'm going to keep on shouting. I came in dancing, I'm going to keep on dancing. I came in speaking in tongues, I'm going to keep on speaking in tongues. I came in running, I'm going to keep on running, because I learned how to bless the Lord at all times. the text. Watch the text. I'm just about done. It is one thing to praise God when you're not in the presence of beast. Marissa, I found out that when I'm not in the wilderness, it's easy to shout. It's easy to speak in tongues. It's easy to dance and it's easy to pray. Because I'm hanging out with folk that act like me. I bump, they bump. I jump, they jump. But it's different when you're in the wilderness. When you're surrounded by folk that would rather see you dead than see you praise. When you're surrounded by folk that will, God help me in this place, that's been scandalizing your name, that's been lying on you, and then God puts you right in the middle of them, and he says, don't let them change you, you change them. Would you do me a favor? Would you do me a favor? I know it's a Sunday afternoon, but would you do me a favor? Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, I showed up to change the atmosphere. I walked into the wilderness to change the atmosphere. And I showed up to dance with the beat, to holler with the beat, to pray with the beat. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Pastor. And I'm looking around the room because I'm trying to find some atmosphere changes. I'm trying to find some folk that ain't scared to be in the wilderness. I'm looking for some folk that know how to battle with beasts and demons and come out on top. I'm looking for some intercessors that say, I may be in the wilderness, but this ain't what you want to mess with. I'm looking for some folk. I got to go. I got to go. He sat among beasts, but the beast didn't kill him.
Yes, sir.
Let me try it again. Lord have mercy. I tried to make this real short. He sat with the beasts. And Pastor Kip, 15 years you sat with some beasts. You sat with some folk that smiled in your face, stabbed you behind your back. You sat with some folk that said, I'm with you. I feel your vision. I see your vision, but was trying to tear you up and destroy you. Here's the good news. The beast are dead. You're still standing. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, every beast that came against me is dead, but I'm still here. I'm still here. Every beast. Watch the text. Oh God, I feel something here. I wanna give you about 30 seconds in the middle of this message and give God a praise that he killed every beast that came against you. I mean, give him a praise like you know they're dead. Give him a praise like you know they've been destroyed. Give it to him. I got to go. Become. I prayed and I even wrestled with God sitting in that seat because I wanted to preach something real cute, shout you real good, sit down. I was in a battle with God, and God said to me, said the beast needs to be put on notice that the end is coming, that the beast needs to be put on notice that I'm getting ready to open up the heavens. And I'm getting ready to bless BWW. He said the beast needs to know that you tried to destroy them. You tried to kill them. But they're still here. Let me move. Let me move. that I put him among wild beasts. And if that wasn't enough, I put Satan in the wilderness with him to tempt him. This word temptation, you got to be real careful with it. Because the short meaning for temptation is tempting you with what you like. That it's not a temptation if you don't like it. And so, just like, here's a newsflash, just like God knows what you like, Satan knows what you like. And when he shows up in your wilderness, he's coming with what you like. Because his intent is to knock you off course. His intent is to turn you back from where God's trying to take you. And he says, the only way I can do that is present you with what you like. Would you do me a favor? I'm a friendly preacher. I like folk to talk to each other. Don't want to talk to them, shouldn't sit down. Tell your neighbor, newsflash, the devil know you. And so since he knows you, he's not coming with what doesn't get to you. Am I right about it? Since he knows you, he's going to make sure that it's exactly.
Come on, man. It's going to come right.
And the reason that he knows what to come with. You ready? Because he's got you before. I knew y'all wasn't going to clap on that. He knows what you like because he's got you before. But you ought to be bold enough and strong enough to tell the devil, you can't get me like you used to get me. I'm stronger now. I'm better now. I'm wiser. You ought to be able to laugh at the devil. Tell him how you may have got me last time. But since the last time you got me, I've had a little talk with Jesus. Since the last time you got me, I've been renewed and reformed. Since the last time you got me, I'm better. Somebody round your head back and holler, better, better, better. Better, better, better. Better, better, better. I'm better. Satan shows up in the wilderness, Marshall. He's bold. He shows up with Jesus. Back up. He's bold. He shows up with Jesus.
Come on, man. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
He shows up with the difference maker to say, I'm going to get you to submit, because my goal is greater than just you. That if I can get you to submit, I'll get the rest of the world to submit. That if I can stop you at day one, you'll never make it to Calvary. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Here's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to stop you at day one. He said, if I can destroy you at day one, you'll never be able to fulfill the destiny God has on your life. That's why he kept attacking Kip's body. That's why the enemy kept messing with him. Because the enemy said, if I can stop him at day one, you won't be changed. You won't be changed. You won't be delivered. Is there anybody from CWW that's grateful that Satan didn't win? I need you to holler, thank you for not stopping my man of God. Thank you that my man of God didn't give in. Thank you that he's dying.
that if he could stop him at day one, you'd still be in the crack house. You'd still be on Skid Row. Your life would still be messed up. You'd still be hoeing and tricking and doing what I said, and doing whatever else you were doing. You'd still be selling drugs, gangbanging, living in it every type of way. But because the man of God stayed strong, I'm done. Because some of y'all take for granted that the only reason you here is because the man of God stood strong. Oh God, help me in here. If you understood the assignment on his life for your life, you treat him better than you treat him. You pray for him more than you pray for him. You love on him more than you love on him. You're only here because of him. Oh, okay. So Satan says, I got to weaken the head to get the body. But the head stood strong for 40 days. And eventually, God delivered Jesus from the wilderness. That he made Satan leave. Now, here is what we as people of God get confused. Satan's leaving is not permanent.
Come on.
I got to go. It's a temporary leave. And just as soon as you get comfortable again, Satan shows up again. So tell your neighbor, I'm on my way out of here. Don't get too comfortable. Don't you get too comfortable. The Bible says that there is the timing of the wilderness. There is the tempting of the wilderness. Then lastly, there is the testimony of the wilderness.
Come on, Bishop. Work that, man.
Taking notes. Somebody ought to be grateful that God gave you a wilderness, but then he also gave you a testimony. The purpose of your testimony is to help somebody else. Let's roll page. It's to find, help somebody else know that they can make it. So the Bible says that Jesus, when he left the wilderness, the Bible says when he left, he showed up preaching. I got to go. God bless you him. But would you find your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, God's getting ready to give you a testimony. What you gonna tell them? I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. But I made it. I made it. didn't walk away, but I made it. I had friends to turn their backs, but I made it. Anybody glad? Anybody glad? For your wilderness, would you do me another favor? Would you do me another favor? I feel like Joseph. Thank me for that. Good. I sure wish I could let you grab your tail, but since you can't grab it, with your point at him, tell him it was for me. It was for my good. Tell him it made me. It developed me. It brought me down.
Testimony. Tell your name. I got a testimony.